It's the Marketplace Tech Podcast for Monday, April 14th. I'm Stacey Vanek-Smith, in for Ben Johnson. Reports from Bloomberg and other sources say the National Security Administration knew about Heartbleed and exploited the massive security flaw to gather information. The White House denies the reports. Stephen Cobb is a senior security researcher for ESET North America. Hi, Stephen.
Happy to be here, Stacey.
So what kinds of data are we talking about here that the NSA would have been interested in?
The interest of the NSA in something like this would be at two levels. First of all, you can get people's usernames, passwords. A deeper level of access would be to actually get the secret keys that websites use, which are key to the encryption of all of their traffic. We don't know right now, and we may never find out, to what extent they were using Heartbleed to do that lower level of attack. But I would imagine they were working on it.
How serious is the data that was potentially leaked by Heartbleed?
It's about as bad as it can get, really. I mean, if you've got somebody's banking account, username and password, you've got their bank account. You know, there are protections in place to detect fraudulent transactions. But we've seen just with the, you know, last year's Target hack, highly disruptive, can be expensive. This, I think, is way worse than that because people have been relying for several years in some cases on what they thought was an encrypted connection to transmit information secretly.
Stephen, assuming the government did know about Heartbleed, why wouldn't it have made a move to fix it?
You know, the NSA has numerous times trotted out that part of its charter is to help protect the cyber infrastructure of the United States. And clearly, that's at odds with finding a hole like this and not telling people about it who are now seriously affected. You know, but somebody made a decision to not tell people and to use it for the other goals of that agency.
Stephen Cobb is a senior security researcher with ESET North America. Stephen, thank you.
Thank you, Stacey.
As we've been reporting, tech stocks have also been bleeding a bit recently. Last week, everyone from Facebook to Apple was feeling the sell-off. Paul Kodrowski is a partner at SK Ventures. He says tech stocks have been overdue for a correction.
The single best explanation for getting clobbered this week is that you did the opposite for the preceding 12 weeks, which is to say that almost everyone who's getting clobbered now was up in excess of 25% over the preceding couple of months. So, you know, there was this incredible, you know, moonshot of many technology equities, and all of those are just being entirely abandoned.
Kodrowski expects tech stocks will recover before the end of the year. Just in time for tax season, the IRS released the first set of rules for Bitcoin. As Bitcoin has grown, there's been a lot of speculation over how best to use it. One idea involves computer-to-computer transactions, something that could prevent future security breaches like Heartbleed. Jonathan Zittrain is a professor of internet law at Harvard. Hi, Jonathan.
Hi there.
So tell me a little bit about Bitcoin and how it could be used in ways that maybe other currencies can't.
Among other things, it is a publicly journaled way of announcing that you're moving something to someone else. And the something in the case of Bitcoin is basically a serial number that represents a given Bitcoin. So long as we engage in the collective hallucination that these things have value, the Bitcoin protocol is a way of saying, I have this Bitcoin and now I'm giving it to you, which means that you don't rely on a central actor to move the money around. Any entity can figure out how to give it to any other entity.
So how does this make Bitcoin a better choice for maybe these little microtransactions between computers than, say, the dollar?
Well, it means that there may be all sorts of things right now that happen on the internet and on the web that go completely uncompensated because they're of very little value, but they still might be helpful to someone. And if you could build a little economy around that, it might make things better. And of course, it might also make things weirder. But an example might be if it were really easy to attach a tenth of a penny to every email that you send, it wouldn't add up for the normal emailer very much. And in fact, you'd be getting a tenth of a penny as you get emails from people. So it'd basically be a wash. But if you're a spammer right now looking to send out a billion emails to people and hope that one of them answers, having to attach a tenth of a penny to each of those emails would not make that cost effective anymore.
Now, I have to go back to something that you said about Bitcoin, which was to call it a collective hallucination.
Yes.
How has Bitcoin evolved? I mean, what role is it playing now?
I think it's very much a version 1.0 of cryptocurrency. But for my part, I think the interest in a distributed public journal of stuff could be used for all sorts of purposes that don't have to do with the exchange of currency. There might be ways to use Bitcoin-style journaling so that when a company transfers sensitive data, it gets journaled over. And there'd be a way then for me to see where it's been. And then if it actually should leak, I can trace the source of the leak.
Jonathan Zittrain is the co-director of Harvard's Berkman Center for Internet and Society. Jonathan, thank you.
Thank you.
And finally, a new report finds 44% of Twitter accounts have never actually sent a tweet. There are nearly a billion Twitter accounts. And if you're one of them, you can send us a tweet at Marketplace Tech. I'm Stacey Vanek Smith, and that's our show today. This is APM, American Public Media.